The latest Kilcoin conversation with somebody who has been around sports his entire life. First in the newspaper world, then in the PR world, then working for the St. Louis Blues, and then getting back into the PR world. Jim Woodcock is somebody who, to me, has a hand in everything sports St. Louis. I mean, he's worked with the St. Louis Rams, worked for the St. Louis Blues. In fact, award-winning run in the marketing of VP campaigns they put together, twice winning the NHL's top award for marketing campaigns. But for a long time, a VP at Fleischmann Hillard. And they work with all types of folks, not just in town even. When you start talking about the United States men's soccer team, they're involved with them. Major golf events like the PGA Championship, Fleischmann Hillard has their fingerprints on that. And Jim Woodcock, I joked with him that he's Mr. Press Conference, because Woody is always at the press conference coordinating and sort of piecing things together. He was side by side with Dave Peacock and Bob Blitz during the effort to keep the Rams in St. Louis, and continues to be connected to the Blues and the Cardinals, and Shad Khan, who owns the Jacksonville Jaguars, who was going to own the St. Louis Rams. So we talked to Woody about that experience, because strange time in the Rams world. Jim was doing some work with Chip and Lucia, and that would be Chip Rosenblum, Lucia Rodriguez. They were the son and daughter of Georgia Frontier. They took over the Rams when their mom died, and there was that period where somebody could come in and buy that 60% of the team. Stan Kroenke owned 40%. And lo and behold, Shad Khan, this businessman out of central Illinois that most of us had never heard of, bought the 60%, or at least put in the top bid, and it was sort of assumed he'd be taken over until the very final hour, when Stan Kroenke famously matched. Didn't have to wait till the final seconds, but he did. But Jim Woodcock continues to work with Shad Khan. In fact, it was Woody, we didn't even get into this, helping connect Mark Lamping with Shad Khan. And Mark Lamping is the president of the Jaguars on the business side of things. So Jim Woodcock, who, fascinating career, connected to so many sports elements in St. Louis. And the Fleischmann early days involved a lot of work with Anheuser-Busch. The glory days at AB, man, that would have been a great time to work for the brewery. I'm sure every flight was first class and every meal was top-notch. So Jim Woodcock, Woody as his friends call him, is the Kilcoin Conversation, talking about some of the fun moments in his career, and also where we sit right now in terms of St. Louis as a sports town, having lost the NFL but gaining the MLS, having a senior golf outing every year, and then other golf events coming through town on a pretty regular basis at this point. The Kilcoin Conversation, as always, is presented by B&G Tuckpointing, bgtuckpointing.com. That's their website. You can check out some of their work where you see the before and the after. It's really amazing what they do. If you have bricks that are crumbling, falling apart, they come in and it looks new again. It's unbelievable. They also do waterproofing and foundation repair. Get a free estimate. Maybe it's the garage that's made of brick, the home, the chimney. Free estimate at 363-0525. That's Rich Galati. He and his daughters, Bella and Gabby, B&G, family operation. Find them at bgtuckpointing.com. They are the best in the bricks. Triad Bank, St. Louis-based bank since 2005. So for all of your banking needs, home loan, car loan, business loan, make sure you talk to the fine folks at Triad Bank. They're on Clayton Road in Frontenac, and I always say this is a St. Louis-based bank. Well, the CEO, Jim Regna, went to Rosary High School. Then he went to UMSL. So this is as St. Louis as it gets. TriadBanking.com is where you can find them on the web. Marie Davila Senior Living, beautiful campus in West County, corner of Clayton and Weidman Road, assisted living, villa estates, whatever type of retirement living you're looking for, they have it on the beautiful campus there. Take a virtual tour at mariedavila.com. That's M-A-R-I-D-E, Villa, mariedavila.com. And Appliance Discounters all around the St. Louis area and online, theappliancediscounters.com. 80,000 square foot warehouse in downtown St. Louis means they have the merchandise in stock. I've heard so many friends not paying attention. Oh, we went to this place, tried to get a fridge. It's going to take 3 months. What? pay attention. Son, listen. Go to Appliance Discounters and get it in days. That's not only the slogan and what we talk about, it's true. You will experience it for yourself. Lowest prices on the biggest names delivered quickly to you. And General Electric, so many great GE products, also GE rebates available. Just put it in the search engine on the website, General Electric, and check out all of their great merchandise. Whether you need a stove, refrigerator, washer, dryer, you name it, they have it. TheAppliancedDiscounters.com, where their savings are your savings. And here it is, the visit with the longtime marketing exec and from Fleischmann Hillard, Jim Woodcock. All right, Jim, when I see you, I think press conference. Is that fair? When I see Jim Woodcock, I feel like there's about to be a press conference and you're behind the scenes, but you're behind the scenes with everything. Do you feel like your life is going from one press conference to the next?
At times. I mean, like for our clients that we have outside of St. Louis, a lot of that is done from St. Louis, so I'm not at those press conferences or what have you. But yeah, when you're a place like Fleischmann Hillard, typically you're behind the scenes. And I've been privileged here, you know, since almost 30 years now, being, you know, working with the teams here in St. Louis and working with organizations. And yeah, a lot of times it involves press conferences. And some of them are really happy moments, and some of them are like, you know, like remember one of the worst press conferences when we canceled the season in 2004-2005, the NHL season due to the lockout. And then you have some other press conferences where you're introducing free agents or a new owner or whatever. So it kind of goes back and forth. But, I think you hit it there. I'm at a lot of press conferences.
Press conferences, and he's got charts and graphs. In fact, we're taping this. We're sitting at the Missouri Athletic Club, the West County Clubhouse. In this room, it was Dave Peacock unveiling the blueprint and for the stadium, right? Yeah. So the Rams' effort to keep the Rams, that was another one. And maybe we could even start there because you and Dave Peacock and Bob Blitz, I've asked Dave this. I don't know if I've ever asked you this. Do you feel like that you wasted a year of your life? Are you bitter at all about that?
Well, I'm bitter the work wasn't rewarded at the end. The work was spectacular work. And it was work that was led by Dave and Bob. That you're right. We were here in the same room at the MAC and unveiling the plans for the stadium, and we had actually a couple different phases of those of those plans, and that started, I guess it was in November of 14 or so, and it was a little over a year. You're right, and I feel like in an odd way, it was one of the most rewarding and fulfilling years that I've personally spent. It was not rewarded at the end as far as the result. But I do bristle whenever I hear anyone say, you know, like the effort that failed or the effort or whatever. We got it done. I mean, we delivered on everything. And on deadline, on time. And then in December of 2015, the NFL and Mr. Kroenke, et cetera, they had a bona fide stadium plan here for St. Louis to keep the Rams where they belonged. And the vote didn't go our way about 2 or 3 weeks later in Houston. So we were, you know, that was just an awful outcome. But it was not time wasted.
Do you think the league was surprised throughout? Like, you, Dave, and Bob are like, all right, this is going to take a little pushing, polling. We're going to have to squeak this thing through. We're going to have to get some votes here and there. But do you think the whole time the league was saying, oh, they'll never get this done?
I don't know if they were saying it. I think they were probably thinking that it was a tall order. At the time in 2000, I think it was November 14, when Governor Nixon appointed Bob and Dave to the task force, and what had to be done in literally a year's time was to say it was monumental work that had to be accomplished would be an understatement. I mean, it was securing land, it was hiring architects, it was getting a naming rights partner, it was getting the funding. You know, and funding it at all these different levels. It's hard to do that within a couple years' time, 3 years' time. You see right now in the NFL stadium projects, and you see one right now unfolding in Buffalo that was, you know, years in the making. You know, I think you're going to see some more stadium deals coming down the pipe here soon. Years in the making, you know. In St. Louis, I say we, it was Dave and Bob and you know, some real bright people around them, got that done in essentially a year's time, you know, at the state level, at the city level. You know, yeah, I think the league was surprise for sure. I don't think they ever expressed it, but with each month that went by, it was evident we were gaining ground. And by the time we got to Christmas in 2015, we had a stadium deal.
Do you think if those boxes hadn't been checked, the lawsuit doesn't come back in St. Louis's favor? Like, in order for this lawsuit, a lot of it was deceitful, you know, think comments that were made by Kevin Demoff and others. But do you think if your plan that you guys put together had not been in place, that the lawsuit wouldn't have been as strong?
Well, I'm not a legal person. I'm not an attorney for sure. I think it would have been more difficult for sure. We had, again, you mentioned checking boxes. Every box was checked, every one. And so I have to imagine that Bob Blitz and his fellow attorneys that advanced the lawsuit knew that we met all criteria and we had a great case. So I think, again, that's an area where I think there may have been some surprise that might have been like, you know what, St. Louis, I think there are a lot of observers might have thought St. Louis gave it its best and we'll never forget this bad experience and we'll go move on to something else. And Bob and others said, no, we're going to fight this. He used the words, David slaying Goliath, and that's exactly what happened. So now the community is better for it. We don't have an NFL team right now, but our community is still the best community, in my opinion, in the United States. And we've got $790 million, half that, obviously, to the, the county, the authority, and the city. So hopefully some good things will come of it.
All right, so you've worked for the Cardinals, the Blues, the Rams, and for a St. Louis-based guy, this is what a career. But since I did talk NFL, I guess we're obsessed with the Rams. It's interesting. You work with Shad Khan and the Jaguars now, so you're still connected to the NFL. But before Shad, you worked for the Rams, right? And mm-hmm. So did you work for Stan Kroenke or you worked for the Rams at that point?
Rams. I got to know John Shaw and the Rams front office, I guess, in the mid-90s or so, and was asked to come in and counsel on a coaching change. At that time, it was Rich Brooks was there. And we had just, when I say we, Fleshman Hillard, had just helped the Blues with a managerial change with Mike Keenan and Jack Quinn. And John Shaw reached out shortly thereafter and said, we might have something similar that we can use your help on. got to know the Rams in that respect. And then I went to the St. Louis Blues for 8 years after that and returned and then again worked for the Rams, again with John and Bob Wallace. And at that time, that was during the, kind of the end of those great years. And Mike Martz was still the head coach. And we were still, when I say we, the Rams were still a really relevant football team, getting Monday night games and still had, good quarterback play and all that, but weren't the Rams of the greatest show. Those were, I got to know Chip and Lucia, who took the Rams after George had passed. And at the time, it was more of a situation as to whether Chip and Lucia were going to keep the team or sell it. They determined a sale was in their best interests, and at that time, I kind of recused myself from the Rams because I had some other clients who were interested in purchasing the Rams themselves, Shad Khan not being one of them. And so I was surprised like anybody the morning, in fact, it was on Fox 2, Martin, that broke the news that this man from Central Illinois would be the new Rams owner. And I
remember what we were all Googling. Bumpers and fenders, and this guy had invented and made tons of money.
What I remember was everyone was texting me. I think it was during the text era still. I was getting.
Paying per text. You're over your text limit.
Yeah. Well, I was definitely getting contacted, though, by a lot of the media and friends throughout St. Louis. Like, what do you know about this man? I said, I know nothing. I didn't. I knew nothing. And went into the office that morning and had a message waiting for me on my phone from Shad's attorney who wanted to talk and wanted some help in St. Louis to kind of get him settled, if you will, and all. He was the new owner of the Rams. And I was like, wow, the things really turned quickly. And now I got to know him pretty fast. I was on the phone with him that morning. He would have been a great owner here in St. Louis, I can tell you that. And where I'm really lucky is it didn't work out for him in St. Louis, but we stayed in touch. And then he called me, I think in October, might have been late September, but it was October or so of 2011. And he says, I got something else going on. You know, maybe you'd be interested in helping me. And it was Jacksonville.
But he thought he was going to buy the ranch. I remember was at the park and meeting people. And so at that point, you're Fleischman Hillard, but he's hiring you to kind of work with him and to get to lay the ground for him becoming a St. Louis figure. Right?
Yeah, when I first met him, I'm going to get the dates a little wrong here, but it was like February or so, 2010. He had just been announced as the favored purchaser of the 60% that Chip and Lucia owned of the Rams. Stan Kroenke owned the other 40%. And he wanted to fly into St. Louis. He came from Denver, actually, where he spent some time with Kroenke and watched a Nuggets game from courtside seats, and he really had a good time. And he flew in from there. I picked him up at the airport over in Illinois, and drove him across the river to the hotel. I gave him a box of reading material for the next day, and that next day he met Kevin Demoff separately. Kevin Demoff, Billy Devaney, and Steve Spagnuolo. And I was kind of like in the, you know, over there in the margin, listening in, not like eavesdropping, but I was nearby, but I wasn't actually part of those conversations, but I got to see all three, and they were all really wowed by Shad, and Shad was very impressed by all three. Shad actually did not go to Rams Park during that time because he didn't want to appear as though I'm here, everyone look at me. We didn't do any interviews at that time. We felt like it was best to kind of keep it low.
Because it wasn't official yet.
It was not official. Looked like it should have been, you know, because of the cross-ownership rules at the time. But he and I both, this was great because I was just getting to know Shad, and I didn't know what his position would be, and I was going to like break the bad news to him that we shouldn't be doing a victory tour or anything like that, and shaking a lot of hands in St. Louis because there's a lot of requests for it. And he's like, oh, no, I don't want to do that because, you know, nothing's official until it's official. And it ended up being a good move, you know, because that would have been embarrassing, you know, had he gone around and sort of, you know, because it did appear that should have been the outcome, you know, that he should have been the 60% owner of the Rams. But the league adjusted some bylaws in the meantime to accommodate, you know, Kroenke and taking 100%. So.
But did you ever work for Stan specifically, or did you ever know him in your Rams dealings?
I had a couple conversations with him on the phone during that period, actually. But I can't say I knew him. I can't recall if I've ever met him personally, like in person. But that was a weird time, you know, because
you had worked for the Rams, now you're with Shad Khan specifically.
Yeah, with Shad, you know, well, I worked for the Rams, so that was Chip and Lucia. And then they chose Shad Khan as their favored buyer for their 60%. So there's two parties now, the buyer and the seller. And then you have a third party who's the 40% owner of the minority share of the Rams, and he felt that he was the Rams as well, you know, which is good. He's right, actually, right? He owned you know, a minority share of the Rams. So it was a strange period for me personally at that time, but I stood by Shad Khan. He bought that 60%
at the agreement to
in good faith, and that's who Chip and Lucia wanted to hand that 60% over to. And then on the 60th day, I guess it was, you know, of the waiting, you know, Stan Kroenke had 60 days to match that offer, and he matched it. And
was it literally the final hour?
I don't know.
Final minute?
I don't know if it was.
That's the way I tell it.
I don't know if it was that close to deadline, but he, you know, as Shad said, and I have to agree, that was his right. He had every right in the world. Stan had every right in the world to match whatever offer was out there. That was his agreement when he bought 40% of the Rams back in, what would that have been, 95 or so.
So why not earlier? Why not to billionaire, you could have called him a week, a month, or, hey, buddy, I'm going to go ahead and grab that. I mean, that's the thing that stood out. I thought in their world, that's a different world for all of us, that there'd be some mutual billionaire respect.
Well, me not being a billionaire, I can't speak to that. But you know, it was disappointing for sure. I think Shad was disappointed, but also he was super mature about it. He really was, and he kept his dream alive.
And the league kind of got to know him too. Yeah, so they liked him.
There's a lot. It's not good for St. Louis, but there's a lot of outcomes in this that were probably the right outcomes, at least for Shad. He would have been a significant figure in this, a historical figure in St. Louis, in my opinion, because he is that already in Jacksonville. He's an amazing, amazing person, and he would have seen St. Louis for all it can be, and got us there. I really believe that he's a very ambitious, visionary human being, and it didn't work out here in St. Louis, so he goes to Jacksonville. And I think he's really upped Jacksonville's profile in many different ways that probably would have gone unserved had Shad not arrived in Jacksonville. And Shad's comfortable in Florida. There are a lot of things both business wise and personally that are just a good fit for him in Florida. He would have been all in on St. Louis. I don't want to give anyone the impression that he feels like this was a better outcome necessarily. He didn't know that that Jacksonville would have been an outcome at that time. He would have been great here in St. Louis. But I think he would probably tell you right now everything works out for a reason.
So your title, I'm going to try and think of like an unofficial title, like advisor to the power brokers. Like, you don't work for the Jaguars specifically,
no.
But if they're having a PR crisis with Urban Meyer or whatnot, does your phone immediately ring and
yes.
Then you're on consult immediately? And is your job messaging, which is such a 2022 reality for all of us too, right, with social media. Mm-hmm. Is that a big part of what you do, messaging?
It is. It's strategy. I mean, like, where I'm at right now, I've been privileged to have a really rewarding career. And so I'm 30, well, actually more than that, you know, essentially 40 years into my career now, the first 10 being in newspapers. And yeah, you know, there's all these different audiences. It's not just news media. A lot of times, the most important audience you have is to your very own, you know, people, right? Your it could be your employees, it could be your stakeholders, shareholders, or whatever. And that message is going to be different, perhaps, than what you're delivering externally. And And it's a lot of planning, you know, a lot of mapping out, like, hey, we've got this opportunity down the road or whatever to make an impact with A, B, and C. They could be sponsors, they could be legislators. Messaging is really, really important. A lot of times when you see statements and stuff like that, you know, I'll be maybe behind the scenes on those, and I feel I'm very, very emphatic that a statement should not just be something you do just to make something try to go away. You should try to say something and deliver some sort of, you know, essence of who you are and what you stand for and why you're saying this and all that versus just going through the motions. I see that a lot out there right now. Both competitively, like, you know, other agencies and or people in the sports business, world, where you'll see a statement, you can just see that took someone 5 minutes to write, if that, you know. And I think that's what I try not to do.
And it's so obvious when messaging is hollow, I think. Like, when it's so trite, or, like, to me, it's so obvious. And to your credit, your clients, you guys don't do that. I do want to go back to, you mentioned the Rams are interested because they're doing a regime change, and you said the Blues had just done that. Take me back to the end of the Keenan era. Now, you're a Blues fan lifelong, and then you worked for the Blues from 97 to 2005. This is prior to that. Give me an idea how turbulent it was with the Keenan personality and at the end.
Well, when I was at Fleshman Hiller from 92 to 97, I was primarily Anheuser-Busch work, brand marketing, sports marketing. It was the best 5 years that I think when I look back in my career, whenever that may end, I'll look back at those 5 years and say those are the greatest 5 years, because the people at Anheuser-Busch at the time were the best, and we were doing incredible work to get 50% market share, to take Bud Light to number one light beer category. We launched Bud Ice, the official beer of the National Hockey League, which was, like, you know, literally a gift from heaven for me.
They didn't name it Ice because of hockey, did they? Or just no, it was Bud Ice, and then it made sense to align with
actually,
hockey.
This is not to bore your listeners here, but it was initially Ice Draft from Budweiser, and they felt at the time they didn't want it to be like Bud Dry, Bud Light, Budweiser. They wanted it to kind of be in the family, but not 100% in the family. But everyone started calling it Bud Ice, and it's like, okay, we're going to call it what the consumers are calling it, Bud Ice. And then it became the official beer of the NHL, and I was working on Bud Ice. And I got to know everyone at the league as a result, not knowing, like, literally 2-3 years later, I would be with the St. Louis Blues and have all these relationships already at the NHL. But during that time, yes, I'm a Blues fan. Yes, I'm at the time, I think, a partial season ticket holder for the Blues. I was a full season at one point. And Civic Progress owned the Blues and Kiel Center. And we were maybe 2 years into the Kiel Center. And they were thinking about making a trade for Wayne Gretzky. And I didn't know this, you know. But we had one of our greatest city fathers, Al Kurth. You probably remember Al. He represented Civic Progress. And he told Civic Progress, I don't know if this is a good move or not, but I know we have someone internally here who can give us a good point of view on this. So Al knocked on my door one day and said, you know, we're thinking about getting Wayne Gretzky. Do you have a point of view on this? And I said, close the door, you know. And then, you know, I don't remember exactly how our conversation went, but I do remember saying, yes, it would be great. He had a lot of hockey still left in him. And for where we were at that time with Keenan and the new building, not everyone was happy. You know, we had new uniforms. We, you know, the prices skyrocketed. Everyone missed the arena. We kind of needed something like that. I said Gretzky'd be great. I said, depends what you give up for him, but yes, it would work great. You know, so not that saying like my council had anything to do with it. You know, but we ended up getting Wayne Gretzky. I was very involved in the introduction of him. I was down at Kiel Center. Gretzky was on the road, and I think he was in L.A. And back then we were doing a satellite talk back, and it was, we were going long on the satellite because back then I think maybe even still the contracts had to be faxed. So like we're waiting for, you know, I was in Jack Quinn's office and we're waiting for like literally each page, you know, to come through the fax machine. And finally he's a Blue, and so I got. I was then a little closer to the team at that point. And this would have been February of 96. And so Wayne Gretzky's a Blue. But then you saw how that ended. We lose in game 7 of the conference semifinals. And he signs with New York. And then later that fall, Jerry Ritter, who is the chairman of the Kiel Center Partners at the time, and I had gotten to know Jerry through the Anheuser-Busch work. He came in once a month, and he would speak to a number of us and said, what's going wrong? And we would just tell him, you know, everything from, you know, the music's the worst, you're playing there, and you know, the pink seats are terrible, and all, you know, a lot more to it than just optically. And I guess it was December of 96, he came in for his weekly meeting or monthly meeting, and he said, no need to have the meeting. I've made a decision that I'm going to let Mike Keenan go. And he goes, and Jack Quinn, which was very surprising because never did I advocate, you got to get rid of anybody. That's not what an agency, I don't think, should do. You know, you probably give them the facts, and this is my observations, and these are the results of your decisions. But you've got to make those decisions. Now, if you ask me, should, you know, then I'll give you an opinion. But I never once did I say, get rid of these guys. But he made the decision.
Were you stunned when he said that at that time?
I was.
Not that it didn't need to be done, but that he had come to that decision?
Yeah. I think I was. It was the night of our company Christmas party, too. And so I went to the Christmas party with a lot of information, you know, and.
Better not have too many cocktails, Woody. All of a sudden, like, you are not going to believe what I just heard.
Yeah, you're right. And it was a week later that it was literally to the day that we made the announcement, and it did surprise me. It surprised me because Jack Quinn's name never really came up in our conversations. Keenan did for sure because he had locked horns with the news media. He had been cold to the players. There was just a lot of things about his universe that were a bad fit for St. Louis. But we never talked about anything else. And so Jerry made the decision to make a clean sweep, and he told me that he was going to reach out to Mark Sauer and see if he had interest. And 4 or 5 days later, Mark came over to Fleshman Hillard, and we did a briefing with him. Next day, we introduced him. And then I, Mark lured me over there about, 2 months later.
Yeah, and then Mark Sauer, while CEO, president of the Blues, he will point this out too. Mark, this is one of those podcasts where you talk about how I destroyed the franchise. Okay, let's talk about those years where we were the best team. And they were. And you were there working for the Blues 97 to 2005 when Joel Quenneville's there and they're the President's Trophy winning team. And you also won, twice the league's marketing campaign of the year. Was that Bleed Blue? Mm-hmm. Were those you won twice? What were the campaign? Remind
Bleed
me.
Bleed Blue.
Which sort of lives on still.
It does, and I'm really happy about that. And I look back at those days a little bit with a little bit of remorse in that we didn't have social media back then. I mean, Bleed Blue at launch back then could have really been something even a dimension better because we had we knew we had something when fans started sort of interpreting their own version of Bleed Blue, and they would come to the games with blue blood, bandages, and when I would get emails from fans, it's like, I'm so and so, I'm X amount, I'm 50 years old, and I've bled blue since whenever, and so when they were using the theme. In writing emails, I knew we had something, and I worked with Mark Shoup and the Shoup Company. Mark and I worked together on Bud Light work back in when I was doing the AB work back in the mid-90s. So I knew Mark, and I knew he'd be a great fit for our agency, and so we collaborated on just crazy ideas of Bleed Blue. And the NHL launched these marketing awards, and we won the first one for Bleed Blue, and then we won it 2 years later for really kind of the same theme, except a retro theme. We kind of did throwback, and we did like vintage sort of commercials and made everything feel like it was the old days again, which at that time was kind of important because, retro felt right, so we were really, really proud of it. It was still, financially it was a hard go. I mean, back then there was no salary cap. The Lorries did everything they could to, sustain the franchise. I think, Bill and Nancy both deserve a lot of credit, really, for what they did back in those days because they tried to win, but it was, the losses were frankly staggering.
And so now, and then you go back to Fleishman Hillard, and now as a Blues fan, and you still work with the Blues, Fleishman Hillard, you got to love where the franchise is. Mm. In terms of the building, the way they've retooled the interior, those seats were just awful forever, too. Were they purple? Who picked those? But just the state of the franchise, I would think you got to be happy.
I'm thrilled. I mean, this is going to sound like it's pandering, because like when I was with the Blues, I felt like we had a great staff. I mean, and we did. We built our staff when we got there. We added people, and we added the right people too. We just took it. We did a lot of great work. But that staff there is now, right now, is one of the best in sports, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. It is elite, and how they accommodate their fans, how they accommodate their sponsors, how they see the world and what has to be done to be viable and to be like real meaningful to all constituencies, not only in St. Louis, but in the state of Missouri and elsewhere. It is the most well-rounded, smartest organization, certainly in the NHL. And I get to see a lot of organizations, a lot of front offices in what I do. And sometimes, even in your own client base, you can run into average. Gratefully, I very rarely do that, but it happens. The Blues are A+.
So we've got the MLS coming. We have a regular stop, senior golf. I know that's not the right title anymore, but we have big golf events coming too, and that's another one. Woody's press conferences, there's always a golf event. It seems like we've got a nice blend. I know the NFL, we sort of, and some people are diehard football fans, they will never get over that. But I think for our market size, we've got a pretty good blend, especially with the soccer coming and all these golf events, don't you think, in terms of that it probably fits our market size? Like, it'd be great to have an NBA team. It'd be great if the NFL hadn't left. But it seems like we have a decent amount on our plate sports-wise.
I think we're just where we need to be. We've always been a soccer town, and we'll now get the opportunity to show that to the world. For those who haven't seen it and don't understand it, they will shortly. when they see, our debut in MLS. But those of us in St. Louis, we've always known we're soccer. So we don't have to prove anything to ourselves, but the rest of the world will see it. The Blues and Cardinals relationship with each other and with the city is extremely, extremely special. And it's not common. It is not in the United States. I'm not telling you that teams necessarily lock horns or like see things differently in other markets, but the collaboration and the relationship and the support between the two teams is fantastic, and we see it, right, as consumers, as fans, and all that. We feed off of it. We see it. When I was just blown away after all these years, I didn't think I could be blown away by anything St. Louis, but after seeing. We played, I think, Minnesota. I forget who the Blues played, but Yachty was at the game, and we won it in overtime. And you see, literally, this is love. They're not just going to the game. Wainwright and Yachty and Albert Pujols, they love the Blues. They do. And then you sprinkle it in with NASCAR now, right, with golf. And I was just talking to someone in the golf space, and I told him I was from St. Louis, and he just said, "Oh my God, I'll never forget 2018," and he remembered the year. Okay, that's how we do things in St. Louis. It's truly amazing, and so we've got more major golf coming. We have Ascension, which is going to take the Champions Tour to sort of major levels, in my opinion. We're just right. We're just right what we have here, because it's just the right amount, but it also feels right, right? We love what we have, which is great.
Jim is one of those guys, if you sat around at the bar, had a couple of beers, you could really dig deep into so many different layers. I mean, I love the backstory on the Mike Keenan, how the decision was made. Jerry Ritter said, made the decision, how are we going to go about it? Oh, by the way, it's the Christmas party tonight for Fleshman Hillard. Great backstory there, but I'm telling you, Woody's got a million stories. The one thing I forgot to remind him during this interview, that he still owes me a trip to the Shad Khan yacht. I think I hit Mark Lamping up for that. I keep reminding him. I guess I need to go to a game, a Jags game. That's the first step. And then find out if Shad has the yacht so I can check that thing out. Hope you enjoyed the visit with Woody. We will continue to bring you fresh content on the Kilcoin Conversation, not unlike Dan's website, scoopswithdannymac.com. Fresh material posted daily at Dan's website. He's really grown things, too. Jim Powers is doing a lot of high school coverage. There's now a report coming out of Springfield, so you can keep tabs on the Cardinals' minor league development. All of that at scoopswithdannymac.com. And the Kilcoin Conversation presented, as always, by our great sponsors, Triad Bank, St. Louis-based, the neighborhood-friendly bank. We've been saying this for a long time. When you go in and they're not real friendly, you're thinking, why am I doing business here? Check out Triad Bank. I guarantee you will enjoy the experience with the fine folks there. Appliance Discounters, I mentioned all the great merchandise at the lowest price, delivered quickly, but I should always remind you, great service department as well. If you need repairs done on your appliances, again, get that done quickly with Appliance Discounters. Don't have to call an 800 number and talk to a computer. Call a real person and get that service department coming out to you. TheAppliancedDiscounters.com. Marie de Villa Senior Living, just a great spot. And really, I always say it about these sponsors, they're St. Louis people, but also great people. Fred and Mary Kay Weezahan are festive. You'll see the Blue Fountains going on Clayton Road real soon for the Blues playoff run. They have Cardinal red when the Cardinals are in the playoffs. It's just part of that vibe that they have at Marie de Villa. Great spot for your senior years. Maybe it's your mom and dad or aunt and uncle. If you want to check it out, go to mariedevilla.com. And B&G Tuck Pointing, the best in the bricks, and beyond that, they'll do all the great tuck pointing work, but they can also do foundation repair and waterproofing. Real simple, bgtuckpointing.com, or call them at 363-0525. Thanks for checking out the Kilcoin Conversation. I'll talk to you again soon.